Blog Talk Radio.
Captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise, where on Saturdays we forget about all the evil in the world and we talk about things that really matter to Americans, and that is sports. Now, tonight, we've got the NFL. There's a lot of free agents, a lot of things are happening, a lot of things are moving. Nothing's moving really yet, but it will start off. So we're going to talk about we got the top 100 free agencies, all the updates, where they might go, what they might do. We've got March Madness beginning. Selection Sunday will begin next Sunday. We've got, again, we have the free agents. Now, this is an interesting one. And it looks like we got Seth on board. So I'm going to bring hold on, my friend. But we have not only Joey Bosa, but Khalil Mack from the Chargers. That the Chargers are saying, hey, we're open to trades. So I don't know what's up with that other than they're just cleaning house and starting completely over. Well, Mendoza and Mack, those two are, well, those are hot prospects as far as I'm concerned. Those are kind of guys that you want on your team. Those are the kind of guys you want on your team. Russell Wilson had a long, 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 long meeting with Pittsburgh. I'm going to say, and Seth is a big Steelers fan, and I'm going to get his take on this. But here's my take. If Russell Wilson goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers, that is going to be Tomlin's first year as a head coach where he has a... So let's find out what Seth has to think on this, Matt. Seth, my good friend, welcome aboard. Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday, everyone.
Shabbat Shalom, and what's the other one?
Shabbat Shalom. Let me address the Steelers thing that you're talking about right now. Russell Wilson, I believe, is still getting $39 million guaranteed money this year. So he can go wherever. And I think if someone even takes him as a quarterback in the NFL, the league minimum, I think, is $1.2 million. So Russell could actually take $1.2 million and still be fine. And for him, he can maybe find a new home. Here's the thing about Russell Wilson. Never liked him in Seattle. Never liked him in Denver. And I ain't going to like him in Pittsburgh. He doesn't he's the exact opposite of everything you would even have a Steeler be. Now,
no, that's exactly what
$1.2 million. This is cheap Rooney stuff, right? It's okay.
Right.
Yeah, we can do
and
it.
And same with the Raiders. We were both like, no, he's not a Raider.
All I'm saying is if Russell Wilson goes to the Steelers, and what is Mike Tomlin's non-losing season streak? Is it 15,
No, I'm telling
16?
You right now. He goes over there, put this in the book. He goes over to Pittsburgh, and that's when they have their very first losing season in Tomlin's tenure.
Mic drop. Boom.
No, I said that when they first came out. I said if he goes there, that's when they have their first losing season. And how many years has Tomlin been there? What, 15, 16, whatever many years? How long has he been there?
15, 16, 17, something like this. He's got a good record. And on top of it, it doesn't make sense because – Kenny Pickett still has X amount of years on his contract. See if he works out. Actually, Mason Rudolph looked pretty good.
Had a problem with Rudolph, and I don't understand. They've kept him on that team for 6 years as a backup, and every time he comes out there and plays, he does nothing but good. How this guy hasn't got a starting position yet is mind-boggling. I don't get it.
Well, no. I mean, literally, Kenny, it's you can see a dude has potential to be so winning to a certain percentage, but you know she can't get you to that next level. And that next level is the playoffs or whatever. So Mason he's always been a great backup.
He hasn't had a chance to play and prove it. Give him a chance to prove it.
I think don't bring in Russell Wilson and let Mason and Kenny fight it out.
Yeah.
And whoever gets it, they get it. You know what I mean? If there's an injury, then the other guy can prove himself then. Other than that,
you know, I see Pickett is lacking in guidance. I don't know what's going on. I'm not close to the Steelers, so I can't 100% say this is right, but it just seems like maybe there is a little bit of coaching that he's not getting that maybe he needs. Maybe he just needs a little tweak. You know,
what happened to Kenny Pickett this year is this was his sophomore year. This is where everybody has NFL film on you, bro. they know what you do. Let's see what you do. And he performed horribly. Way past.
Well, I think the whole team performed horrible.
That Mason Rudolph actually presented this new type of offense or this infusion. But like you said, this guy's been the backup for how many years?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would rather have these two fight it out and figure it out because maybe Kenny is still worth it, to be honest. Definitely do not bring Russell Wilson here. But if you bring him here for $1.2 million, it's hard not to say, let's ride.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, the Steelers were very, very lucky last year to get that winning season because they did not have a good team. It wasn't just a quarterback. You know, they had problems up and down the line. It, you know, but hey, they pulled it out.
They still made the playoffs.
I know. That's what I'm saying. But I'm saying they got lucky. Because they
were 7-4 at one point. They backed in, but they started at 7-4.
Right.
So
but they always back in. Every year they're backing in.
Yeah. That's the Steelers, dude. That's not lucky.
They are. They back in every year, man.
How do you even think? What are your chances of being in the playoffs, the Steelers? Maybe 1%. All of a sudden, the final total, they're in.
I know. You start the season off 7-4 and somehow find a way to make the playoffs. How? There has got to be.
Right.
The NFL has got to have a special. The NFL gods have got to have a special special part in their heart there that, you know, but look, you're going to bring Russell Wilson over and tell I think the football gods are going to say, nah, you ain't.
No, but I think long-term, if you look at it, I think it is a budget sort of thing that you never put your logo on the other side of the helmet for how many decades? You know how much money that has saved that organization?
Well, here's the thing. Are the Broncos going to just flat out release him or are they going to trade him? And if they trade him to the Steelers, that means the Steelers are going to have to give up something. And the Steelers, I don't know how much they got really to give.
No. I believe, and maybe Viper will correct me on this, but I believe they can just give them up, but they still have $39 million or $8 million that they have to pay them
every year
for whatever. Yeah. But if he takes a job somewhere else as a quarterback, the league minimum pay is 1.2, and he's fine. But he's not going to get $5 or $10 million from a team. Not now.
No, well, plus he's getting the 29 or whatever it is from Denver, and then
but
plus another $1 million. He's going to be okay.
The Larry Brown of the NFL.
Yeah.
Like,
well, he also visited with the Giants. Now, I remember when he was still in Seattle and when he got his new wife wanted And there was a lot of talk. He almost went to the Giants a long time ago, about six years ago. They were thinking, Sala was thinking about going, and he wanted to go because his wife is some kind of a singer or something, and they wanted to move to New York.
She's famous. No, she's really famous, Keith. She was a millionaire, Skeet.
I don't know who she is. She's not a singer or something.
No,
I don't know.
I'm just saying he really was a millionaire singer. Literally.
Well,
he had money, dude.
and the Giants, actually, I could see Russell Wilson better off with the Giants than the Steelers.
Russell Wilson could, well, basically at this point, he's going to go either hero or zero, right?
He's going to be a zero. He's already a zero.
No, no. Good Giants. Take out these Italian kids that are trying to, like, pretend to be a quarterback. And you go with the Giants, but, oh, yeah, and the sad thing is, though, if Russell goes to New York, I think, aren't they getting rid of Shaquan anyways?
Well, no, that's on my list here. Saquon Barkley, as far as I'm concerned, the Giants can't get rid of him quick enough. He's nothing but a mouth, and he's finally had, two seasons where he's been relatively healthy. He started off his first year, didn't start game one because he was hurt. Then he played, had a couple of good games, and got hurt again. But, you know, you got to get rid of the dead weight, and he's a mouthpiece. All he is a pitcher and a complainer.
No. You see the way that teams structure their pay structures. And that's why it's really hard to get any running back even $5, $10, $15 million a year. Whereas just get three running backs for three a year and let them do their stuff, because as a running back, whether you're the highest paid or the lowest paid, you can get hurt on the same exact play. That's a running back,
yeah,
dude.
You know, there's a million running backs, a million receivers now. So you have to be – it's very difficult to be a running back. I mean, because there are a dime a dozen. And, you know, if you're not working out, that's fine. Next man up. You know, here's the ball. So I don't know how much he's really worth. But I would get rid of him right away. Just let him go, get rid of the dead weight.
Earlier when we're talking about a player like Khalil Mack, to me Khalil Mack is one of the upper echelon players that ever played in the game. Unfortunately for him, he played for crap team.
Yep.
And this guy still probably has something in the tank. You can't pay him the big money like you used to, but you could probably still use him on the team. And I think
Matt's been in the NFL. This has got to be 11, 12 years, close to it, at least a decade.
Oh no! And I'm a Khalil Mack fan, so yes, it is. And I think guy still has a winning attitude, still has a positive thing. I think the team that he would actually go to and actually help him would be the Detroit Lions.
Ooh,
I see Khalil Mack in the Detroit Lions.
Ooh.
Uh-oh.
Well, look, Bosa's been
he's always back there, dude. He's always back there.
and
talk about a playoff team. And I think Detroit will be a playoff team next year. And you say, you know, how did I miss the big game to win it, or this or that, or where are the small pieces? And Khalil Mack's not going to get paid the big money anymore. But
no.
I think he works out right there. Like, I think you had Khalil Mack, and you know what? That guy has never won a Super Bowl. And that guy is the Charles Barkley of basketball. He should have won a ring. He didn't. He wants – if he wants a chance at the ring, go to Detroit and just give it a chance there, because this team really has a chance. And if you were Khalil Mack on that team – Whoa.
Well, I got something to say on that, but I do have to say we've got a few callers on board. If you do want to speak tonight, just press the number one, and it'll tell me that you want to talk. Press the number one on your phone. But getting with that, here's what I think Detroit needs to do. They need to go scorched earth. They need to dig up under every mattress that they have, scrape all their cash. I mean, they go out and they buy everything that they can get. They bring over. That team is this close. They are this close.
That's what I'm saying. Khalil Mack as a linebacker on your team. Khalil Mack at the end. Who cares? Mack. He's still Khalil Mack, dude.
No, you go scorched earth and you bring you go out, you get the free agents, you get this, you get that, you do whatever you can and you bring them all up. Because Detroit, man, I'm telling you, that team is so close. I mean, they can smell it. They can smell it. They are right there. They're just on the verge, and they don't let go, man. Don't let go. Keep moving forward. And I think they got the right coach. They believe in his Kool-Aid, and they're drinking it, and they're liking it, and they're doing it. You know what I mean?
Here to me is the difference between Dan Campbell as a coach as compared to a lot of other coaches. Strategically, he's too emotional, all right? It's okay. But
football is emotional.
But, man, I have not seen a coach that gets a team pumped up to play for him in many decades. And this really brings me back to John Madden with the Raiders.
Yep.
So,
yeah, we're a dirty team, and what are you going to do about it? That, I swear to God, was the greatest line I've ever heard a coach ever say. Oh, my God. You know, that is Raider Nation right there, man. Yeah, we're a dirty team. What are you going to do about it? I mean, that's just like, oh, you can't get any gooder than that. You know, you can't. You just can't do it. Well, no, Khalil Mack and even Bosa. Well, Bosa's been in the league a long time, too. He's the older brother of the Bosa in Frisco. Well, I'd like to see both Bosas in San Francisco. Why not?
No. It's just Khalil is going to go. Bosa's going to stay. You know what I mean?
No, well, it looks like they're, I don't know. Who knows?
No. Khalil's going to go, dude. Just saying.
No, he's good. And if I'm Bosa, I can't get out. You can't get out of San Diego quick enough. I'm still calling them San Diego. I know they're L.A., whatever.
Bosa is so San Diego, they're going to keep him. But Khalil, you were an import, and now you're an export. Like, bye-bye. Yeah, they're going to keep both.
You know what? I never even thought about that. But when you said Khalil Mack to Detroit, I'm in love with that. I mean, I'm absolutely in love with that.
And it's so crazy because the GM of Detroit keeps telling people he's only involved in developing talent, which means he really just is about draft picks and whatever. And I understand that. You bring Khalil Mack to that linebacker core. Mother effer. I don't care how much you paid him. It's going to work out. It's going to work out. It's going to be amazing.
Well, let me ask you this, Seth. What do they really need? Now, I know Khalil Mack can always help any team. It doesn't matter what team you are. He's going to help you.
No. The Detroit needs secondary, and it's safeties, cornerbacks, all the defensive backs, the whole thing. It sucks. It's horrible. It has been horrible for more than a decade. And what is so sad is Detroit has finally made right decisions for the last 5 years. So you actually see some positive things, but they're trying to clean up 10 years. And 10 years is now the backfield, the defensive backs. They all suck. They're all horrible. There's no chance, sort of stuff. And that's how they lose these games. Sometimes. Not all the time, but.
Well, I'll tell you, though, Goff, he had that eye of the tiger. He had that look in his eye, man, and I saw that game one when they beat the Chiefs, and I called it. I'm the only one. I said, they're going to beat the Chiefs. I knew it. As soon as we got the schedule, a week after the draft, I saw that schedule. I said, Detroit is going to beat Kansas City, and they did. And Goff, he's got that eye of the tiger, and if he can keep that, I really believe the Detroit Lions, they've got a Super Bowl within 5 years.
You want me to talk about the Detroit Lions? They went to the NFC Championship. They were there. The last time that happened was in 1991 at JFK in Washington against the team that was known as the Redskins.
Wait a minute, 1990? Are you sure it wasn't in like 80s?
No, it was 91.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like January.
No, that is when I remember that game. I just got out of the Navy, and I come home, and I'm watching this game, and that's with Alphonse Galoob. I couldn't stand him. Oh, my God, that's with Dave Craig, who used to be the quarterback for the Seahawks, and he blew it. And look, you're on a first and goal on the 4-yard line, and you pull a Russell Wilson, and you throw the ball 4 friggin' times into the end zone when you've got the greatest running back that has ever played the game, and you don't even give him the ball? What is wrong with you? I'm still pissed off about that. Oh, my God, I remember watching that game. Going, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You're right there, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it was horrible. There's
Why
a lot of things.
4 friggin' times. I mean, only the greatest running back that has ever played the game, and you give him the ball. You're going to sit here and tell me Barry Sanders has four tries and can't go 4 yards? The same
What is so bizarre is that people don't realize that Emmitt Smith's stats outweigh Barry's stats. They outweigh Barry's stats. But Emmitt played for like 14, 15, 17, 20 seasons. I don't know. Barry, 10. That's all.
Hey, Emmitt Smith, one of those guys. You're on the four yard line and you're first and goal. The worst thing you can do is throw that goddamn ball. Why? I don't understand that philosophy of throwing the ball when you're within the 5 yard line. That's just me. I know I'm not an NFL head coach. I'm not an NFL-ologist. But as a fan, and I watch this time after time after time after time, every time you throw the ball within the 5 yard line, very, very seldom do you make it. So why do it? I don't know.
No. So then all of a sudden you're like, hey, why wouldn't we just give it to Marshawn Lynch?
Oh, yeah. What a novel idea. Let's give it to Marshawn. See what he can do with it. Unbelievable. I mean, Marshawn Lynch is a beast, and on the four-yard line, are you kidding me? They were on the one. That's what really makes me so sick. Because they were on the four-yard line.
One half.
You know, and that catch that he made that got him down to the 1 yard line, that was just like a helmet catch. It wasn't any different.
Oh, no. And you could tell.
It was the
even
most
when
beautiful
he
catch.
Made it, when he made it, he
You're on
knew.
The 1 yard line, you got there,
no,
and you throw the
knew
ball.
He still had to get in because he was like, this is going to get apped up.
Are you kidding me?
So he tried so hard to get
four tries. You got four tries for Marshawn Lynch to go 1 yard. That's 3 feet. That's it. There is no excuse to throw that ball. None. Unbelievable. And that was Russell Wilson who did that. That wasn't, I found out later, that was not Pete Carroll. That was Russell Wilson changing the play.
Right.
And he screwed it up. What an asshole. So, unbelievable. Now my blood pressure is through the roof. Unbelievable.
Oh, well, no. And when I was at the bar in southeastern Florida, and I watched that play that you just exactly talked about, watching the Super Bowl game, this was a loud bar. It was kind of obnoxious. And then it was dead silent for 3 minutes because people had to absorb the stupidity.
Right. There was like, what did I just see that happened? I didn't see that, did I? Somebody pinch me. Am I in a dream? Or a nightmare?
No, and everybody was like, that was the dumbest play I've ever seen in my entire life.
Well, Russell Wilson was thinking, hey, I want to be a hero. You weren't thinking about winning the game. You weren't thinking about being a team. You were thinking about Russell Wilson. That's what happened. That's exactly what happened.
Well,
Marshawn Lynch, after that play, should have knocked him out right there on the field. Just should have just leveled him. It's like, are you kidding me? Give me that ball, man. But... no, and look, I'm sorry, but Seattle won that game. They did beat the New England Patriots. They did beat them. They beat them the whole game. It's just that one stupid play at the end of the game. That's all it takes is one mistake. That's all it takes.
As a Steelers fan, when I saw the Cardinals come with freaking Kurt Warner and Yeshua or Jesus behind him, I was like, how the F are we going to win? And it took like a 300 and something pound defensive lineman to take a ball 99 yards and score it on a touchdown. And I was like, well, Kurt Warner, you believe in miracles. So do I. We got you. We're okay.
Yeah, that Kurt Warner story, I mean, that is a, you know, it's one of those sports stories that, I mean, that whole story, those are beautiful American stories, and if they don't pluck your heartstrings, you don't have a heart. That is just a wonderful, you know, that's a Hallmark movie, man. I mean, and that movie that they made, ESPN, I don't know if you saw it, but it was actually pretty good. It was done pretty well, I thought. I thought it was pretty good. They call it the Kurt Warner story. And I like Kurt Warner, you know, and he's a good analyst. You know, and he's cool.
It was just somebody that never gave up on their dream, right?
Right.
Like, hey, I can still throw football, and I play for whatever team. I'm still throwing football. That's all he was doing, dude. And then all of a sudden, one day, somebody's like, you want to play up here? All right. And then the mother effer wins a Super Bowl. And when he wins a Super Bowl, his Super Bowl that he wins is the Houston Oilers, Tennessee Titans, whatever team they're called. And that guy stretches out at the last second and got denied.
Denied.
And that is the best Super Bowl ever, dude, in my opinion. Now, the Super Bowl we just saw, it's in my top five. I don't know if it's in my top two, but we saw a great Super Bowl. And people should admit.
It was an incredible Super Bowl until the 49ers lost. And it goes to show you, you have to play every 60 minutes. You can't play 59 minutes. It doesn't work. You have to play all 60 minutes, every second of those 60 minutes. Because if you give any time on the clock to that Mahomes, he's got 1 second. That means he can do a play. It doesn't matter if he's on the his own 1 yard line. You can go 99 yards. That's not a problem. We've seen it before on kickoff returns and punt returns. We've seen it before. So you don't give any time on the clock to Mahomes, period. If you are within any time on the clock, you must be ahead by 9 points. And if you want to give him a minute, fine. Give him 2 minutes. Give him three. Give him four. Fine. Let him score a touchdown. You're still going to be behind by 1 point. But you're within 8 points. Forget about it. He's going to score on you. And
it's so crazy. I have followed Patrick Mahomes for basically his whole career, and Travis Kelce is whatever he is, and you talk about one of the best tight ends in the NFL. Travis Kelce has to be in your name, right? Now, Patrick has already said he doesn't know whatever happens. He just throws his crap up in the air, and Travis catches it. Wow. This is probably even better than Brady to Gronk, right? Yeah. They just play junk ball, dude. Oh, yeah.
You know, that's what it is. It is junk ball, and I am so surprised that teams haven't been able to figure that out yet. Maybe because it is junk ball, you can't figure it out.
And no one can defend junk ball. No one. And they are the best athletes at this time in their positions. That's what I'm saying.
Well, as far as quarterbacks go, we've got three quarterbacks that are free agents. One, obviously, they've got this number one. The number one free agent, ranked number one, is Kirk Cousins. I don't know if he's actually the number one, but then you've got Minshew now at 100, and you've also got the guy, Baker Mayfield. My God, where's my head? But I think Tampa and the Colts, both of them should keep Mayfield and Minshew. Just keep them because, look, what they did last year, look, you're not going anywhere, and you were lucky to get in to where you got to. Stay with it and, you know, draft or do whatever. But, you know, I mean, I don't think Minshew was all that bad, and I never thought he was all that bad when he was with Jacksonville. But Jacksonville was such a horrible team. You can't put all the – and they never coached him. They were such a bad team. They didn't have any coaching. They had no players. They had absolutely nothing. I mean, I'm surprised they even had uniforms. That's how lacking of everything that they had. So I think Minshew, I think, just needs a little guidance. He needs a little tweaking. And I think Minshew can really do it. And Baker Mayfield the same way. Just tweak it a little bit. And, hey, look, what Baker Mayfield did with Tampa. Nobody expected Tampa to come anywhere near no playoffs. Playoffs?
Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Yeah, exactly. Nobody ever even expected that. And look what happened. So, you know, you keep him for a year, and, you know, maybe if you want to draft and have somebody tutelage under him. But I really don't think Baker is really all that bad. But look where he came up. He came up in Cleveland, which when you go to Cleveland, that's a kiss of death.
No. Hey, Skeet, what you're talking about, Baker Mayfield is what you're talking about. And as a Raiders fan, people forget about how Rich Gannon had got disfranchised and this and that. And then Rich Gannon was one of the best quarterbacks for the Raiders for how many years? So Baker might have found his place. Let's see what happens.
No, that's what I'm saying. What he gave you last year, I mean, you can only build on it. And the Colts, come on, let's face it. Face reality, Colts. You're not going to win the Super Bowl next year, so just stop. So keep him. Keep the ship afloat. Don't sink the ship. Keep it afloat. Draft and work around it and still coach him. But see, they think, oh, well, he's just a this and that. I don't need to coach him. Well, yeah, you do. Yes, you do. Hey, we're going to find out. Things are going to be different next year. I mean, it's going to be almost a completely new league. But I think we're still going to have our same usual suspects going to be there. Kansas City, San Francisco, those teams are going to be there. Because they're just solid from top to bottom. And what we saw last year was the two greatest teams in the NFL, and that was a true Super Bowl, where you had the best team in the NFL, the AFC, and the best team in the AFC. You had the two best teams in the world, NFL teams. That was a true Super Bowl.
But here's the thing about the AFC, right? It the first year I can remember.
Keep talking, Seth. We gotta go across the street here. Keep talking.
The Chiefs were a wild card. The Chiefs still won it all. The Chiefs still go to AFC championship games every year. The Chiefs. You know what? You could always say in the past the Chiefs did the things because they had home field advantage again. You can't say it anymore. They still won the Super Bowl. All I'm saying, amazing, amazing, amazing. The Chiefs are the real deal. They're
I hate it, but they are.
In football, period.
I hate to admit it, but you have to admit it. That is an incredible football team.
Yeah.
You can't deny it.
No. If you said that they won just because they had home field advantage at the end, which they normally did, you know, that's a real thing. That's a real stat. And then you have to say they were literally a wild card and they still won it all. Probably one of the best teams you've ever seen in your entire life. And I don't know how many Super Bowl wins Patrick Mahomes has. But mother effer, I bet you it's about 50%. Which is so crazy when you look at odds.
Right. No, I mean, I'm not a hater of the Chiefs. Never been a hater. I'm just not a lover. Not my team. But look, I'm an NFL fan. I'm a sports fan. And you can't deny what is. And I hate them, but they are. Look, I mean, they've got coaching. They've got this. They've got it all, top to bottom. But see, here's some questions that I
have. Oh, yeah. You talk about coaching. Like, who's your coach? Andy Reid. Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, he's all right.
Okay.
I love his commercials. Yeah, let's do this again, but with those nuggies. I mean, I love it. I love those commercials. I mean, I love it. I do.
Yeah. I love it whenever Andy Reid wins a Super Bowl, and then all of a sudden there is a cheeseburger presented to him. Right off the bat. No, he's eating cheeseburger, dude. He does. That's his thing. It's
well,
so
it was
weird.
Like George Foreman. I mean, George Foreman would go out there. He's like 48 years old. Go out there and knock somebody out and then go home and grab his grill and cook up about 5 or 6 cheeseburgers. I mean, you can't help but love a George Foreman. I mean, if you can't love George Foreman, I don't know. You can't love anything. I mean, please, come on. I love George Foreman. I did. I love that guy. I mean, he had the greatest attitude as a boxer because he was just out here to do my job. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it, and I'm just going to have fun doing it.
George Foreman, do you know what he named his first 4 daughters?
Yeah,
his
daughter is Georgina. All of his kids are George and Georgina.
Yeah,
I love it.
They're all Georges. It's all.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, my little brother a long time had one of his grills, and he said that was one of the best grills he's ever had. So I don't know. I never had one, but. But here's a question. Here's something that we haven't really been hearing too much about. Now, look at this. This is in the AFC East. We've got Buffalo, Miami, New York Jets, and New England. Well, both Buffalo and Miami both ended up with 11 wins. And the New York Jets, now listen to this. The New York Jets, without any kind of quarterback of any kind, they didn't even have anybody that resembled a quarterback, and they still got 7 games. So you're only 4 games away from Miami and Buffalo. Are you going to sit here and tell me if Aaron Rodgers was healthy that the New York Jets could not win 4 more games? Well, what is going to happen next year? Is Aaron Rodgers...
Let me throw on a different thing.
Aaron
Rodgers, New York Jets, and they are 15-2. You won't believe it, right? Aaron Rodgers, 15-2, New York Jets.
Well, they got to get past the third play of the friggin' game. Watching that, I was just like, you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. This is the opening game. And he's out for the year. Well, if Aaron Rodgers, which I do believe is going to be healthy, and I think he's going to be healthy all year. And if he is, I'm going to put the New York Jets up against Buffalo or Miami. I do see going backwards. Buffalo, I think, is going to still be around 10 or 11. Miami, I think they're going to be around 9 or 8. I think they're going to slip a little bit. They might be 10. They're not going to be 11. They're not going to be over 11. They're going to slip, which gives a wide open berth for the New York Jets to slip in there and quite possibly take that division. It could happen. But Buffalo...
Aaron Rodgers on that New York team, they're going to slaughter people. And it's a Belichick last Patriot that are in disarray. That's 2 easy wins.
Yeah.
Buffalo, let's see what happens. 1-1. And then Miami.
Well, Buffalo is a wild card every year. Every year, Buffalo is a wild card. You don't know what they're going to do. But Miami, I see Miami slipping. I thought Miami, they were playing good and very, very strong, but there was something about that team that I just thought that they were missing. I didn't really know what it was. I don't really know. Maybe it's one of those intangible things that you're never going to know, but it's one of those things. But we'll find out. I mean, hey, look, I mean, the AFC East, that's still going to be a very strong division. Buffalo, Miami, and the Jets. We're not going to count New England because New England, you're not doing nothing next year. Don't even try to, you know, pound your chest. I don't want to hear.
No, and Buffalo has basically dissembled. They're done. They couldn't do it. They couldn't do it.
Well, they got Norwood again.
Really good team. Miami is a really good team. Miami should take this over. But in Rodgers with the Jets, let's see.
Well, if Aaron Rodgers can stay healthy, I mean, I don't see why the Jets can't go deep into the playoffs, at least of the title game. I mean, I really don't. And Aaron Rodgers is still got, he's mentally, there. Aaron Rodgers is, he's a, you know, this guy is mentally there. He's mentally capable to do it. Obviously, he wasn't physically capable to do it because he, you know, but if he's healthy, and I think he will be, wow, the Jets are going to be. I just don't like the Jets coach. I think they need to get rid of the Jets coach. Me personally, I was thinking, hey, you got a perfect opportunity to bring Belichick back. That would be his third time. And, you know, Belichick was the coach of the Jets for two times and never played and never coached one game.
No,
he was the coach twice and never coached one game.
I still believe in Salah. I still do. And, you know, Belichick is an old dinosaur.
I think if you brought Belichick over and you got him who knows how to deal with a guy like Rodgers, because, you know, Brady and Rodgers, I'm not saying they're the same. They're completely different. But he knows how to deal with those kinds of players. You know, their attitudes, their, you know, he knows how to deal with their personalities. And I think you brought Belichick over. I'm not a big Salih or Salah, whatever his name is. I'm not a big fan of him. I don't think he's the coach to get him over the hump. Yeah, but that's my opinion. But you don't mean nothing. But anyway, it doesn't really matter. If Rodgers is healthy, the New York Jets are going to be right there. Right there at the top of the division. Whether they got the same. Look, Buffalo and Miami both ended up last year with 11-6. So if you got the New York Jets next year, so now you got three teams. How can three teams in the same division end up at 11-6? You see what I'm saying? Something's got to give. So I don't know. I think the Jets are going to be, if Rodgers is healthy, the Jets are going to be in contention. New England, no. Cleveland. Now, Cleveland, you ended up with 11-6. And I love Cleveland. I really want to see these teams that haven't done anything. I really want to see these teams do something. But Cleveland, you have a good season, and then you have a bad one. So next year, I don't know. And Pittsburgh, well, we all know if you pick Russell Wilson, you just lost your winning season right there. You're done. How about Cincinnati, though? I mean, Cincinnati was only a game away from the postseason. They ended up at 9-8. Pittsburgh was at 10-7 and made the postseason. Can Cincinnati get over their hump? I don't know. I don't know.
You know, whatever team takes a gamble on Russell Wilson for 1.2, it's not that bad of a gamble, especially if you think he's your number two. For number two, league minimum, Russell Wilson? I think that's
the
goal.
Well, actually, you know, I'm starting to rethink myself. See, Russell Wilson, you know, even with Seattle, he really wasn't the leader. He just had a really good team behind him. And that's really what made Russell Wilson Russell Wilson. Even though Russell Wilson was a great, and he was, and he used to be, where when things went bad, the guy could run out of getting sacked. He can't do that anymore. He used to be one of the best of not getting sacked because he would run away and he would scramble and he would find a way to get the first down, just like what Mahomes does. Mahomes is good at that too, where he avoids the sack. A lot of these quarterbacks don't. They don't know how to do that. They don't know how to scramble. Well, Russell Wilson used to be good. He didn't have a choice because Seattle's front line was always porous. I mean, you could run right through it. Well, Russell Wilson's getting old. I mean, this is going to be his 14th year. In 14 years in the NFL, especially as a quarterback, that could put some years on you. You know, I mean, 14 years in the NFL, say whatever you want, but your body's got to be a little sore. I mean, I'm sore just watching it, sitting on the couch choking on my guacamole. So.
Right.
Well, it looks like we've got Lou, the Jets fan. We were just talking about the Jets. So let's bring Lou on board. Lou, my good friend, welcome aboard and happy Saturday.
Thank you.
Hey, we were talking about the Jets' chances of where they're going to be in their division next year. Now, what's your take on this if Rodgers is healthy?
If Rodgers is healthy, they can be competitive. They can maybe make a second in the AFC East. If he's not healthy, forget it. It'll be another losing season. So a lot depends on how Rodgers is healthy because, you know, our backup quarterbacks are, well, let's put it this way, trash. So we have to get Rodgers healthy.
I think if Rodgers is healthy, I think they make it at least to the title game.
Ooh. Seen that. Haven't seen that in a while.
Well, hey, look, I mean, you've got Aaron Rodgers there, and if you've got Aaron Rodgers, and if you can't make it at least to the title game, you know, that's going to really say a lot about Aaron Rodgers. I think the guy is still committed to win. I think he's mentally there. He is committed to win. And I think if he's given an opportunity to win, I think he's going to do it. I think the guy's got a grudge on his shoulder, and good for him. And he wants to win. I think he wants to prove to, I don't know, it's either himself or to other people or whatever. But I think the guy has got something inside of him that he has got to get out. And if he is healthy, he's going to get it all out. I really do.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Now, this would be a good game. This would be a really good game. The Detroit Lions against the New York Jets. Would that be a Super Bowl or what? Well, if Jared Goff were to beat Aaron Rodgers, what would that say? I mean, ow.
That would be something.
Ow!
Yeah.
Well, look, Rodgers has got either this year or maybe next year to win another ring. Well, the Detroit Lions have got their clock is ticking too. So they've got to win it now. Buffalo has to win it. All these teams have to win it now. Well, now I really was disappointed last year because I really, really wanted to see Rodgers actually do with the New York Jets. And I think he would have brought that team at least to the title game. I mean, Lou, come on. I mean, he would have gone deep in the postseason, right?
Yes. No. He would.
Well, that means they would have had to gone over Buffalo, beat Miami, Baltimore, Cleveland, Houston, which I'm telling you right now, and you talked, Seth, you talked about the sophomore jinx. Well, that's what's going to happen in Houston. I'm telling you right now. I think we're looking at another Kyle Murray.
Uh-huh.
C.J. Stroud?
Yep.
Dude, I think Houston is going to go to the playoffs next year, too. I do.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what happened to Jacksonville last year. That was a much better team, and they should have played much better than they did. I don't know what happened to that team. I don't know.
Trevor Lawrence had an ankle injury for the last 4 weeks. Yeah. And it was his plant foot, so it wasn't good.
Yeah, but still, there were chances. Jacksonville had so many opportunities to win. So they lost 8 games. There was at least 4 games that they blew out of just stupidity, and they should have won them.
Yeah,
they should have won them. Jacksonville should have been around 11 or 12. They should have been about 12, maybe 13 last year.
You said the magic word right there, stupidity.
It just was like, you're watching the game going, what did you do? Why did you do that?
I didn't.
You know, I mean, I'm throwing my guacamole at my cat. You know, I mean, it's just like, what are you doing this for? Driving me nuts. But Indianapolis, I was surprised, though, that Indianapolis got to 9 games. I really did not expect Indianapolis to even have come even close. But now Tennessee, I know they fired their coach, Vrabel, but I don't know if I would have done that. Because you just gave this guy a brand new quarterback. You gave the guy with no team whatsoever and expected to turn him around. And you didn't even get, their quarterback, Levis. Levis didn't even come and play until the last, 6 games of the season? And then you're going to fire your head coach? I thought that was uncalled for by Tennessee. What's your take on that? I mean, I just thought that was just unacceptable. I mean, when you have a GM and you have an ownership that are going to give this guy nothing to do, nothing to play with, and then if he doesn't win, you fire him?
Yeah.
And I'm surprised if Vrabel didn't get another job. I mean, even as a coordinator. Well, I guess I just read this today. San Francisco actually called Belichick to come in and be like a coordinator of some sort. And, you know, I mean, you don't know. Come on, a guy like Belichick.
Yeah.
Come on, be the jockstrap coordinator. Are you kidding me?
Somebody's not.
Well, Seth, realistically, the Raiders ended up 8-9 last year. Realistically, where do you see the Las Vegas Raiders?
In disarray, but Antonio Pierce is our head coach. I like it. I want to say 9-8, and I'm going to say 9-8.
Well, I think Pierce is fool's gold. I think they got... they used that last year, and, they were, they won a few more games. I think Pierce is fool's gold. I don't see them being any more than 8-9. How about you, Lou?
I'm going to say 7-10.
Well, even Denver now, I think Denver, Peyton is getting rid of everybody.
Yeah.
And they're talking about him saying, this is his team. And I think there's a good reason, And Harbaugh is kind of doing a little bit of the same, because you kind of have to when you bring a new regime in. You got to bring in the people that are fit around you. If you're the leader, you want guys that are going to follow your lead. You don't want guys that are not going to follow your lead.
Well, hold on. Hold on, everybody. When everybody talks about, like, rebuilding a program and whatever, and da-da-da, if we talk about San Diego and Harbaugh comes in as a coach, and your quarterback is Justin Herbert, and you talk to me about a rebuild, please don't let me hear your problems, because that's the best thing I've ever heard as a rebuild. Oh, hey, what are we going to do? Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert. That's your quarterback. Sorry, I don't want to hear it. I don't.
Well, let me tell you something. Here's what Justin Herbert got the Los Angeles Chargers. 5-12. Ouch. 5-12 he was out for the last couple of games. So he only won him 4 games. And I love Herbert. Don't get me wrong. I love Herbert. But I just don't think it's all Herbert's fault. And I think Harbaugh can probably realize that. And I think the reason why he's getting rid of some of these older guys is he wants to go brand new. He wants to go young. I understand
I will tell you one thing about Harbaugh in the NFL. In San Francisco, he actually made that quarterback. What was his name with the cornrows?
Kaepernick.
Kaepernick. He actually made him relevant. That's all I'm saying. Where's Kaepernick nowadays?
Yeah, and I agree, and I'm not even a fan of him. I don't even like him as a coach. I don't even like him as a person. But he does know how to turn around a team, and he does know how to coach. It's just the way it is. And I really do believe that Harbaugh is going to come into the Chargers. He's going to turn them around. It's going to take a few years. Yeah. It's not going to happen overnight. Nothing happens overnight. And it's certainly not going to take over the Chargers.
Him turning over the Chargers, I guarantee you, he starts with Justin Herbert. That's a pretty good piece to start with if you're a head coach coming into a team. Like,
well,
I'm
if he's
coming
not a good quarterback,
and
you know he's a good quarterback, you build around him.
Went to a playoff game in X amount of years or whatever, and blah, blah. And I go in there, and you're like, your quarterback is Justin Herbert. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling pretty good. That's a good start. We'll figure it out from there.
Well, look, I mean, they were 5-12 last year. So you can't go backwards in 5-12. I mean, if you do, that's horrible. But, well, let me ask both of you. We'll start with you, Lou. I mean, here's the NFC or the AFC West.
Okay.
Kansas City was at 11-6. The Raiders and Denver were both 8-9 and Chargers at 5-12.
Yeah.
Now, with Harbaugh coming in, and we all know Kansas City, I think we can all scratch Kansas City as the division winner. Put them in right now. Okay?
Yeah, no, I mean, and you have to do it, to be honest, dude.
Right. I know, but here's my question. You've got three teams, Vegas, Denver, and Chargers. Now, who out of all those three, in your opinion, we'll start with you, Lou, and then we'll go with you, Seth. Lou, who out of all those three, the Raiders, Denver, and Chargers, who is the number one of those three in that league?
I think I'm going to go with I'm going to go with the Raiders.
Well, you know, you've got Denver coming up, and I think, I really do believe, here's my opinion, I think the AFC West, I think, mm-hmm. forget about Kansas City, okay, just put them on top and just worry about the other three. I think the Raiders, Denver, and Chargers, I think we're going to see one hell of a competition between who gets number two in that division. I think we're going to see, it's going to be very, very tight of who gets number two. Seth, what is your opinion?
Well, I already know for the Broncos, because of this semblance of Russell Wilson, that Jerry Jeudy is the best wide receiver for the Broncos. He's gone. They're already
right. He's a free agent. He's going to be gone.
So, I really think the Raiders have the best chance. But let's see who their quarterback is, because if their quarterback is crap, then put them a big L. It is going to suck.
Well, you got O'Donnell there who, you know, and they got rid of Stidham and they brought him to Denver. I liked Stidham when he was with the Raiders, when he would come in, and I really thought the guy was doing good. And I think he can do good in Denver, and I think that's kind of where they're going. But I don't know. I see a lot of competition in the number two spot for the AFC West. I think we're going to see Raiders, Denver, and Chargers fighting for that. I think the Raiders are going to be, I don't know. I got a bad feeling about the Raiders this year. I do. I don't like to do that. I don't like to feel that way, but I don't think Pierce is the answer. I think they're going to go – they're not going to be any more than eight than they were last year. Denver, I think, might improve by one game. They might be 9-8 instead of 8-9.
No, well, I'm going to actually disagree with you, Skeet.
Right.
Now, if the Raiders don't have a quarterback, that's a different conversation. But Antonio Pierce, he seems to be the best coach for the Raiders that I've seen in a long time. And you have players that don't even get to play. But they're backup players due to COVID or whatever.
Yeah.
And he literally talks to every single player as head coach. He's a Raiders head coach, man, as far as I'm concerned. Let's see what he does, dude. Let's see what he does. I think he's going to be amazing. But it sucks because the AFC West, there's so many good quarterbacks still in this league. What the F? You don't know. And to be
the AFC, that is still strong, and the NFC. Now let's go to the NFC. Now we have Dallas and Philly, which we all saw what happened with Dallas and Philly. I mean, that was such a great, and towards the end of the year, you saw Dallas coming up from behind and beating the Philadelphia Eagles and taking over the NFC East. And then they got their first playoff game and they lose 48 to what? 3 or whatever the hell the score was. That was embarrassing. What happened to the Dallas Cowboys? What happened to Philadelphia?
What happened to Philadelphia?
I mean, they had everything. I mean, look, Hurts, and they had a front line, they had a back line, they had a sideline. I mean, they had everything. They had coaches. They had everything. What happened? I don't know. Something was going on in that locker room. I think there was something going on in that locker room. I don't know what it is.
There must have been.
But there was some kind of intangible spirit, I guess, is what I'm looking at, a spirit, a ghost, something that caused that team to collapse in the way that they did. And to lose the last two games of the season the way that they lost them. I mean, look, Philadelphia was on the way to go basically undefeated. And then, oops. And now we still got Detroit. Look, we've got a lot of, I think there's still going to be a lot of really good competition in the NFL next year. Actually, I think there's going to be more competition next year than we saw last year. Buffalo, Miami, Jets, if they're healthy, Baltimore, Cleveland,
yes.
Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Houston, Jacksonville, Indianapolis, Kansas City, Denver, Chargers, Raiders. That's just the AFC. Then you got the NFC, Dallas, Philadelphia. I'm not counting Giants, Washington. Then we've got Detroit. And also possibly Green Bay. And maybe Chicago, if they can figure out what they're going to do with a quarterback. And then we've got Tampa Bay, New Orleans, Atlanta, and Carolina. Okay, those guys, it doesn't really matter. Nobody's getting over 8 or 9 wins in that division anyway, so forget about them. But you got San Francisco. You've got the Rams. And the Rams are going to come back next year. They're going to be healthy. And they were only 2 games back from San Francisco, and you still have Seattle in the wings. You're not counting Arizona. So you've got a lot of competition next year. I mean, no. I mean, it's the NFL is getting tougher and tougher and tougher to win a game. And every win is going to be meaningful. Every loss is going to be painful. And again, I know nobody believes me, but I do believe in the very first game of the season, that win or that loss will affect you at the end of the season. You're going to either need that win if you lost. You're going to need that win at the end of the season. So.
Just one game? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. But no, I'm really looking forward to the season next year. I think we're going to have a lot of fun. These picks are getting harder and harder. I mean, look at it, Seth. Let me see if I can pull this up. But we've been doing this show. How long have we been doing this show, Seth? At least 10 years, at least. 12 years?
No, 15. 15.
We've been doing it a while.
And only for a year and a half.
You know, and every year the picks seem to be getting more and more and more difficult because we're getting more and more competition, which is exactly what we want, and I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
I love everything.
Well, no, it was the thing that about 5 years ago, the NFL had a terminology and we called it parity. And you know what? It worked. It worked. It is the most agreeable model I've ever seen.
Yeah.
That the model also makes $15 billion a year profit. So, yeah. This is the best model you could ever see. And when you see the parody, it is amazing. The Houston Texans were the greatest piece of parody this year. Period.
I think that Houston team, I don't know, maybe it's just me.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm a hater. I could be a hater.
What about a hater?
But Houston ended up at 9-7, Jacksonville and Indianapolis at 9-8. We're not going to count Tennessee, they're 6-11, but I don't, something tells me Houston, I don't know. So you never know with these teams. Like we saw what happened with the Giants 2 years ago, and they had, and they gave Drabel the coach of the year. And then what happened last year with the Giants? Nothing. Well, you know, that sometimes happens. With Houston, though, I do think C.J. Stroud, I mean, I could be wrong. I mean, I could be completely wrong. You never know.
Okay.
You don't know. But I do see C.J. Stroud as a bit of a Kyler Murray.
Mm.
I think he's gotten his head a little bit too big, and we're going to find out next year with that sophomore jinx. We're going to see how big his head really is and if he's mature enough to handle how big his head really is.
Well, here's the thing that I'm going to say about the youth team right there is it's a very young team. They're a dumb team. They have so many really high draft picks on the team that you don't realize that this could be the young team that doesn't know any better, and they can always be in the AFC playoffs because there's seven teams, and they can be one of these teams, and I see them as one of these teams. You will always have to go through now the Houston Texans, and you won't believe it, but they went to Baltimore. In the first half, they beat Baltimore, but the second half, they got their ass whooped. That's how that went.
All right, well, let me ask you this. Of all the teams last year that had a winning season, which one of these teams is going to be most likely to have a losing season? Buffalo, Miami, Baltimore, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, even Cincinnati. Cincinnati was 9-8. You got Houston, Jacksonville. I mean, if you look at it, I'm just looking at it here now. Let's find out how many teams did not have a winning season. 1, 2, 3, 4. Six teams in the AFC did not have a winning season. That's 6 out of 16. So 10 teams out of the AFC had a winning season. Let's find out with the NFC. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So you had 7 teams. So they're both pretty equal. So basically, you've got 10 teams out of each conference that's going to have a winning season. But just having a winning season, what does that mean? You don't even get into the playoffs with a winning season. Cincinnati was 9-8. They didn't come anywhere in their own playoffs. That's a winning season.
Yeah.
I remember when Seattle, when they got into the playoffs, this was beautiful. They got into the playoffs. This was 2006. They got into the playoffs being 7-9, and the only reason why they got in, they had the same record as the Rams, but they beat the Rams. So they got in at 7-9, and they beat the championship team,
yeah,
the New Orleans Saints, who just won the Super Bowl, and the Saints had to go to Seattle. They won the Super Bowl the year before, and they had to go to Seattle. The Saints had a winning season, 10 or 11 wins, I think it was, or 12, and they had to go to Seattle, who was 7-9, and Seattle beat them, and they beat them with their backup quarterback. They didn't beat him with Hasselbeck, which I hated him. I mean, they beat him with, what was his name, Whitehorse.
Yeah.
That guy. Oh, they beat him with the backup
quarterback.
I'm not touching
that one.
That was beautiful. So you just really don't know in the NFL. I mean,
yeah,
because you
have
a winning season doesn't mean you're a winner.
No.
See what I'm saying?
Far from it.
But Detroit, I mean, look at the competition that we're going to have next year. Let's look at the competition we're going to have. Now, Seattle, maybe, but you got still got the Rams, San Francisco. I'm not going to count really Tampa Bay. I'm not going to count the NFC South. They're, you know,
trash.
Whatever. I mean, you're 9-8 and you win your division. Come on, please stop. But look, you know, and look at Green Bay, how far they went at 9-8. But you've got Detroit, you got Dallas, you got Philadelphia, Kansas City. I mean, the competition next year, I think, is going to be more than last year. And I think every loss next year is going to be extremely detrimental. You can't afford to lose any game in the NFL next year. That's how strict that competition is going to be.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? In the AFC East, you got four teams, but only three that count. And those three, the Jets, Miami, and Buffalo. Lou, I mean, if the Jets are healthy, there's no way
if we look to last year's stats and we look at the very first NFL football game last year, it was on a Thursday night as the Detroit Lions at Kansas City. And no one said the Lions were going to win.
I did. I said it at the very beginning. I said it when I first saw it.
I think it was like 21-20. It was something close. It was crazy. But you know what? It shows you in the NFL, the best AFC team could lose to a very good NFC team in the first week. We saw it. Parity. This is amazing. The NFL has the best product on this planet. And we saw it that day. And we'll see it the whole entire season. We will.
Well, here's one thing about Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo last year was kind of hanging in, kind of not. And Miami was taken over. Buffalo fires their offensive coordinator, and what happens? Immediately, they start to win. And they ended up winning the last five games of the season. But they couldn't get – I mean, they got Norwooded again. There's something about Buffalo in the postseason that just don't mix, like oil and water. I mean, Buffalo can do a great job in the regular season. You get them in the postseason, and they forget how to play the friggin' game.
Oh, no. If you talk about the beef, they have such a small window that they were supposed to win it all. It's gone. It's over. Trust me.
Look, the way Buffalo was playing, I had them picked to go to the Super Bowl. I was like, there's no way this team can lose the way that they're playing. And they should have beat Kansas City, but they did not. Did not.
No, and the sad thing is that I think everybody kind of cheers for the beef in a way. Those
because
days
of the
are
redheaded
done.
Stepchild.
Those days are done. The beef are not going to be a winning AFC championship title game player team ever again. They had their chance. And they didn't do it, and it's over. It's over. The
let me ask both of you this.
In the AFC Championship game again for a while.
Let me ask both of you this: if Buffalo, if they choke again like they did last year, does Josh Allen get traded?
Yes.
I'm thinking the same thing, Lou. And now, okay, well, let me ask you this. If Josh Allen...
I don't think he's going to be traded.
Does he have enough in him to take another team to the Super Bowl?
No. No. And Buffalo's going to stick with Josh Allen. And... he's never going to get them to that spot, ever. And
but if they trade him after last year, can Josh Allen bring another team to the Super Bowl? Mm-hmm. I got to be honest. I don't know.
No, not at all. He couldn't deal with Buffalo. I was going to deal with somebody else. Please, anybody, explain to me.
Well, Buffalo is hurt, obviously. What if he goes to another uncursed team? Well, actually, there's a lot of teams that are cursed.
Yeah, I think I know what I mean.
You really think about it. I mean, look at all the teams. They're all cursed. You've got 32 teams, and there's 31 teams that have been cursed. There's only one team that ain't cursed, and that's the Super Bowl winner, and that's it. So... but I still think San Francisco, and hey, I'm not going to count out the Rams. I'm not a Rams fan, never have been. But I'm not going to count that team out. And they're going to be healthy next year. You still got Kupp. You still got Stafford. He's still got a couple more years in him. And I love Kupp. I would love to see Kupp go somewhere else, but... but look what the Rams did last year. I mean, they were broken down, beat down. A Kupp was injured most of the season. Stafford was all banged up. I mean, the whole team. And they still ended up 10 wins?
Yes.
If that team is healthy, it's going to be a lot of competition.
Yeah, but football is a lot different than other sports. It really is. Mm-hmm. But if you do get X amount of wins, you get in these playoff positions, you still have a chance. But in other sports, you have these injuries or whatever, and it's a 7-game series, not a 1-game, then you're done. But football is one, you know?
Yeah.
That's it.
You either win or you lose. Yeah. There's second chances. You don't get a second chance. And that's what I love about football. There's so much more. Unlike baseball, you got 162 games. So you get a whole week without getting a win. That doesn't mean you ain't going to no World Series. It just means you had a bad week. And you can make up a bad week in a weekend. You know?
Yeah.
You got a couple of doubleheaders, and boom, you're back. In football, no, you don't have that. You only play once a week.
No, you don't.
Oh, no, man. Anybody that's ever played competitively in any type of sport, when you only play for that one day, it is totally different than you playing in a seven-game series.
Absolutely.
So if you have nothing left to give, that's the day that you give nothing that you had. And that's what you have to do, and you're hoping that's good enough. But a one-day win, yeah, dude, you're at the mercy of the gods, basically.
Well, I don't see Carolina being too much more over 2-15. I really don't. Atlanta, I know you're trying to help
Carolina
them
off. Getting rid of McCaffrey back in the day, they really threw themselves on all that. They didn't really get what they should have got from McCaffrey. Carolina, in my opinion, is one of the worst NFL organizations right now out there today, basically.
Yeah.
Who has Carolina going to the playoffs next year? Nobody.
No.
I think their ownership is more, I think this team is more of a tax write-off than it is about making, you know.
And the way that they even got rid of McCaffrey and how they got screwed on how that happened.
Well, that was the greatest thing they could ever have done to McCaffrey. That was the greatest gift he ever got, was to get the hell out of Carolina.
Oh, no. And what was so crazy in fantasy football, I drafted Christian McCaffrey on the Panthers. And then we went to the 49ers. I won the fantasy Super Bowl. I did. That was
the biggest thing that happened in
fantasy football. And I was like, are you serious? I'm going to get 25 games a game.
His first game in San Francisco, he scored two touchdowns. One was a pass and one was a run. And I think he even threw a pass. I think he even threw a touchdown pass.
It was crazy. Yeah.
McCaffrey
25 points minimum my first game. I averaged 25 points a game with that guy. Yeah,
and
I won.
Here's the thing about McCaffrey.
The Super Bowl in my league.
If you had to ask somebody, what is McCaffrey's position? And they go, oh, well, he's a receiver. No. Oh, he's a tight end. No. He's a running back. What? A running back? No, McCaffrey is everything. He's everything offense. Anything you need that guy to do. You need him to run it. You need him to catch it. You need him to throw it. He can throw the ball. He can throw a touchdown pass.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think there's anything the guy can't do. I mean, give him, put the ball down, laces out, the son of a bitch will kick you a 50-yard field goal.
Yeah, my word exactly.
I mean, are you kidding me? I mean...
Oh, no, it was so crazy when I had drafted him in, like, the third round or the fifth round in fantasy football, and he became the number one running back in fantasy football. Besides the way I drafted the rest of my team, I was like, Super Bowl winner. You know what I mean? Like, thank you.
And you know what the thing about it is? It's that guy's, you look, now he's bigger than me. But you look at him compared to everybody in the NFL, he's a midget. The guy's a midget.
He's 5'11". He's 5'11". His dad's 6'5", and his brother's 6'5". But, yeah.
I love this guy. I do. I really do. I think he's one of the greatest ambassadors for the NFL
now. He literally is one of the best running backs in the history of the game. And ironically, he also happens to be mostly Caucasian.
Well, the guy just can do everything. Like I said, he can catch the ball. He can run the ball. He can throw the ball. This guy, you talk about a 5-tool player in baseball. This guy is a 5-tool player in the NFL. There is nothing he cannot do. And like I said, you give him the ball, you hike him the ball, and you lace us out, the son of a bitch will kick you a 50-yard field goal. He can do that. I guarantee you. Mickey Mantle had the greatest knuckleball in Major League Baseball history. The greatest knuckleball. And he never pitched one game. But guys, he would screw around in practice, and guys, you can't hit him. I mean, if the New York Yankees, I mean, they would have been smart. They would have put him in late. Let's say you're down by 11 runs and you got nobody. Put in Mickey Mantle, let him throw his knuckleball, and you at least got a chance to, you know.
I know what you're saying, Skeet, and it reminds me of the only time in my entire life I actually happened to see Derek Jeter pitch. And he pitched a complete game, and his team won 2-0, and Derek hit 2 home runs, solos. Most people don't realize Derek Jeter, as one of the greatest shortstops, could actually pitch. You know what I mean? Like, these athletes, when you see them and they can do stuff, they can do stuff past what you even believe.
Right.
So when you see it live and then you remember it, you're like, Derek Jeter won that game 2-0.
Was that
as a pitcher?
Was that like the minors?
No, that was at Kalamazoo Central. He played for Kalamazoo Central in high school, but that was actually at the Lloyd Norrick Field, which is also in Kalamazoo. And when I watched that, my friend told me, he said, you should really stay and watch the whole game. So I did. And I was like, Derek Jeter won the game pitching 2-0, and he hit 2 home runs.
You know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, when Rodriguez came over to the Yankees, and then we're saying, oh, the greatest shortstop in Major League Baseball is playing third base for the New York Yankees. Well, let's take a look, you know, at Derek Jeter. Okay, his amount of errors was like 230-something, which was much less than all the other players. And here's one thing about Derek Jeter that I really liked, except for it didn't happen in the last season. It only happened a couple of times. But when he was on, except for his last season, every time Derek Jeter got up to bat in the late innings and the New York Yankees were down by 10 or 11, he always got on base. His last bat, he always got on base, either a walk, a hit by pitch, or something. He found a way to get on base. Yeah. And that is something you can't teach.
Oh no. And what you're actually talking about is certain years of the Yankees that they had the greatest comebacks in the ninth inning ever in the history of baseball, and he was a part of that, and that's what he did. He was like, I'm just going to get on base. Didn't matter how.
Look, and that's your job. You get you're a batter. Your job is to get on base. It doesn't matter how you get on base. What difference does it make? Look, the old thing was a walk as good as a hit, because back then a walk was actually considered a hit. They counted it as a hit. And it really doesn't matter. You get on base. You can't get home if you're not on base. Can't do it.
And if you talk about an old adage, Ty Cobb heard about people saying about Babe Ruth hitting all these home runs. He's like, you want to see home runs? How many did you hit in one day?
Ty Cobb did it. He said, okay, I'll show you home runs. He went out and hit 3 home runs just to piss everybody off. I love it.
3 out at bat. He only had 3 at bat. Yeah. So it's a different ball game. It's a different this or that. But how amazing is this that these people could do these exact things when they said they could do it? That in baseball, that's really cool, dude.
Yeah, and, you know, in baseball, sometimes the numbers don't lie. Sometimes they do.
Oh, they do it?
Sometimes they don't.
Oh, no, and to be honest, I know the show's getting towards the end, but to be honest, all the steroid guys that did the home runs, and then all the people that we don't know that did steroids and got the home runs, and they get the accolades. They get to be in the Hall of Fame. It's time to put it to rest. Put them all in the Hall of Fame. Barry Bonds be in the Hall of Fame, dude.
No, I'm going to disagree absolutely, wholeheartedly, no. If you've got to cheat to play your position, you don't deserve it.
Barry Bonds would have made the Hall of Fame before.
He would, and that's what makes it so
disgusting.
He was the 40-40.
He was the 40-40.
I know. That's what makes it so just heartbreaking. This guy did not have to take that crap. Now you got a guy like, what's his name with the Cubs? I can't stand him. Never could.
Sammy Sosa.
Sammy Sosa. That guy never would have done it. Anything if it wasn't for steroids. I never liked him. I never liked him when he was with the White Sox. I thought he was a joke. And they finally got rid of him because he was terrible. And then he starts taking drugs. And look, Mark McGwire didn't need to take that crap either. I loved Mark McGwire. There was no excuse for him to take that. Whenever you look at Roger Clemens had to take that, he had to take the steroids to bring back his career. Roger Clemens, no, screw Roger Clemens too. He lost his stuff with Boston. Why do you think they traded him to Toronto?
Yeah. No, I know. And then all of a sudden, this guy can pitch out of his mind. And he's one of the best in baseball. Again, yeah, I remember. Yeah, it sucked. Steroids. But in my opinion, nowadays, 20, 30 years later, let all these guys get in. Roger Clemens was one of the best pitchers.
No. Let me ask you this.
There's definitely a lot more later on.
Let me ask both of you this. Now, Mickey Mantle, we all know that that guy was plagued with knee injuries, every injury that you could think of, and he could still run like the friggin' wind. Let's just say he took steroids to keep his knees from blowing out.
Yeah.
What do you think that guy would have been able to do? Mickey Mantle, or even Babe Ruth. And Babe Ruth wouldn't need to take it. Here's the thing. If they would have taken it, their career would have ended much earlier. It would have ended much, much earlier.
Yes.
And Mickey Mantle's career would have been over. Babe Ruth's career would have been over earlier.
In a heartbeat.
And look at what happened with McGuire when he started taking it. His career went down. Injured. He got this, he got that, and he kept pumping up more drugs just to get the more home runs. But he kept having injuries. Because your body is growing unnaturally, and your body can't keep up with it. And it broke down. And Mark McGuire did not need to take that stuff. I thought Mark McGuire was a great player. He was skinny. He was a great first baseman. And he was a good hitter.
Well, no, and that's where there were certain players back in the day that we already knew home run hitters were probably on steroids. And then all of a sudden you just heard about still like all old farm boys that were still hitting and whatever. You knew they never did any of that stuff. And so any of their home runs, you knew were legit. But those guys would get like 41, which is pretty good. But hey, nothing like 58 or 61 or 64 or 71. So it really sucked. Like Frank Thomas was one of the best home run hitters. But people ain't going to remember Frank Thomas because of the steroid. Exactly.
I do.
I remember Frank Thomas. Well,
the big-time home run hitter. It was cool.
Not that guy, you know.
Well, anyway, guys, we're about a minute. I just got the 1 minute cue. We're about to end here. I thought we had a great discussion tonight. Thank you, Lou, for calling in tonight. Thank you very much. I thought we had a great show here tonight. Seth, thank you very much for calling in. We missed Viper tonight, but, hey, we've always got I'm about to choke and die here. We've got next week, every Saturday night, and I want to thank all those in the chat room. You guys were great, and we did have a bunch of listeners that just wanted to listen, so thank you very much. And we'll see you back here next week, Saturday night at 6 p.m. Goodbye, everybody.